WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
For months, local bookstore owners I know have been talking about the publication of the Reader's Catalog in much the same way as they might discuss a comeback tour by Salman Rushdie. You see, the catalog represents a revolutionary way of browsing for and buying books. The Reader's Catalog lists over 40,000 books in 208 subjects, everything from ancient Egyptian literature to pet care. Before the catalog, if you were interested in studying, say, modern architecture, you'd probably assemble a hit-and-miss reading list from the recommendations of friends, librarians, and booksellers. Now, the catalog can direct you to what it considers the important books in the field, as well as the best editions to read them in. But you can also order books through the catalog with an 800 number, and this is what's making bookstore owners nervous. They have visions of people cocooned in their homes, picking up the phone to order a pizza and the standard works on the Bauhaus movement. I don't think bookstores are in any danger. People who love books also love to fondle, sniff, and gauge the print size of the books they buy. The catalog's publisher, Jason Epstein, says he doesn't want to hurt bookstores. Instead, he wants to encourage them to maintain inventories that range beyond bestsellers. Epstein describes his project as an L.L. Bean catalog for books, but the Reader's Catalog has a way to go before it meets Bean's famous quality control standards. The catalog is maddeningly erratic. For instance, it recommends the best translation of Madame Bovary, but it doesn't offer any suggestions for the best editions of Chekhov or Dostoevsky. The catalog's explanations of modernism and structuralism are really sharp. But if you want to learn something about the philosopher Spinoza, here's what it says. The Dutch thinker Spinoza is a gigantic figure, but few readers know his work at first hand. It repays study. His beautifully designed systems of ethics and metaphysics are built on profound insights. I still don't know Spinoza's work firsthand, and obviously neither did the writer of this paragraph. The Reader's Catalog claims that the only reason it wouldn't include a worthy book is because it's out of print, but there are lots of baffling gaps. What happened to Lionel Trilling's landmark work of literary criticism, The Liberal Imagination, or Alasdair MacIntyre's listing under Recent Philosophy? I think the biggest problem with the Reader's Catalog is that it doesn't explain its criteria for selection. The catalog is the product of the intellectual tastes of its contributors, who include Gloria Steinem, New York Review of Books staff members, and Epstein's kids, but none of its introductions or blurbs are signed. Instead, like the canon of great books, the Reader's Catalog presents its recommended reading lists as though they're mystically self-evident. With revision, the Reader's Catalog could be a reference source as indispensable as the dictionary, though like the dictionary, it will always need updating. Right now, the catalog is a charming but irritating blend of arrogance and lazy erudition. It's sort of like having William F. Buckley perched slyly on your coffee table.